Sports on the Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Morning, everybody. Good morning. Tyrone Johnson, Hunter Brody, Mike producing, taking you to 12 noon here on 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. A lot to get to, most of it bad. We're also going to clear up a lot of myths today. We'll talk to Paul Hudrick at 11:30. But we start with the word of the week. And the word of the week this week is devil. Devil. And we're going to find out why my generation, for the most part, is in the clear, but Hunter's and my father's generation are responsible for all the problems that are happening in Philadelphia sports right now. And we're going to solve those problems and correct everything by 12 noon today. All right? So we have the Sixers situation. And yes, now it's been a couple days, but you guys all saw it. We all saw it. The Sixers lose in six to the Heat. That on its face, in theory, would not be a sin. If we're being completely honest, most of us, before the series, picked the Heat. I know I did. I thought the Heat would win the series. The problem with that whole situation is you then had to watch the series. And you had to see how it played out. And you have to see the ramifications of that series. And the ramifications are, what the heck do you now do with James Harden? Because he stunk. And also, how responsible is Doc Rivers, Mr. Fight, 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 and the fans love it? Oh, he's asking them to fight. Yeah, you know what he could be asking them to do? Like, do stuff, something strategic to counter what the Heat are doing? Fight, 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 fight. That means nothing to grown adults. You know what fight, fight, fight works with children, 9-year-olds. There can be times where 9-year-olds are too busy looking at blades of grass when they're out there or paying attention to the crowd or fidget spinners or whatever kids are doing these days, and they're not focused. And instead, he says fight rather than give them a tactical advantage. But the Sixers lose this series, and everybody's down in the dumps. I'm going to explain to everybody right now the two problems. And Hunter will be able to defend himself, and some older people will be able to defend their generation, 610-632-0975. And that is because some of us make deals with the sports gods, and some of you out there are making a deal with the devil.
All right.
I'll explain. Leading up, this all goes back with the Sixers to the 70s. And understand the backdrop of this situation when all of this started. All right, let's walk down memory lane for some people. It's a history lesson for people because this was all before I was born and before Mike was born and before Hunter was born. But after the Flyers won their two cups and the Sixers have Dr. J, Sixers fans were very thirsty for a title like the Flyers had. Now in today's society, Flyers fans very jealous of the attention that Sixers fans give to the Sixers. And get angry about it. Not all of you, but some of you, listen, just wear that shoe. You know it fits. But too often, back then, there were people who weren't willing to let it marinate. And this is where my father, for example, may have made a deal with the devil instead of asking the sports gods. And everyone knows what I'm talking about when you talk about these deals. My first deal was the Fog Bowl. As a kid, in which I promised to always keep my room clean forever, if the Eagles won the Fog Bowl, I made that deal with the sports gods. They lose that game, I never cleaned my room again without the threat of punishment. But going back, the Sixers in 1977, Hunter, were up 3-1 in the finals over the Portland Trail Blazers, and they lost the series. My dad never recovered from that. And I know for a fact many people at that point made a deal. Then they go on in 80 and lose to the Lakers in the finals. Then they lose to the Celtics in the conference finals. They are desperate at that point. The Flyers winning was just, it was right there still. It wasn't that far in the rear view. And they made a deal with the devil to win that title. They get Moses Malone. They win in 83. And if you look at that whole decade, everybody won more than one title except the Sixers. Because people at that age group at that time made a deal with the devil. And that's their fault. And we're paying for it now. That's the only explanation of why James Harden would only take two shots in the second half of an elimination game. But this is where your people are now the problem, and you're going to have to defend this. You fast forward from the 83 championship, and we now hit a long drought. Nothing between 83 and 93. At that point, nothing from 93 to 03. Nothing from 03 to 13. Nothing. No championships whatsoever. Until you got the 08 Phillies. But for some reason, that didn't make people happy. By April of the following year, they were booing Ryan Howard. So you win a World Series. The following April, 2 weeks into the season, they're booing Ryan Howard. So that didn't satiate the hunger of people. People wanted a Super Bowl. And this is where you come into play, Hunter. I made a deal with the sports gods about that Super Bowl, saying that the city deserved it and we shouldn't allow the Carson Wentz injury to punish all these people who were desperate. And what I said was, I would be a little nicer to people if they won the Super Bowl. And I have been. I know people don't believe it, but trust me, I'm much nicer to you than I want to be. I'm holding up my end of that bargain. But people like you, Hunter, made a deal with the devil. And this was the deal at the time. If they can win a Super Bowl, I don't care what happens in Philadelphia sports for the next 10 years. I'll trade all the pain and blah, blah, blah in exchange for a Super Bowl. Have you heard something similar to this there, Hunter?
Yes, I have.
And did you perhaps put that out into the atmosphere around the time the Eagles were approaching the Super Bowl?
I may have.
You may have.
I may have.
Yes, you may have. And then since then, we've had nothing but damn heartache again. If you notice, last year, Eagles make the playoffs. Everyone's excited. What's the score before they score?
This is for the for which game this was?
This playoff game.
It wasn't good.
It was 31-0.
Okay, I was to the point where it's out of my brain.
Wasn't a test.
But here's the thing. It was more barroom conversation than real sports god combo. Hey, couple Miller Lights. What if you end up, winning a Super Bowl? It was something along those lines where you look to the guy next to you and you're having some fun after a few cold ones.
For some. But you see, here's the thing about the devil.
He's always listening?
Always listening, and he goes to the most vulnerable. Is it fair to say that the most vulnerable fan base at that time in America, not now, where post-Super Bowl we've gone soft in comparison to how we used to be, there was never a fan base more desperate for a title than Eagles fans, which makes up all of us, because unlike the Phillies, the Sixers, and the Flyers, we're all Eagles fans. They were the most desperate in the country, arguably the most desperate in the world. So while you were having a Miller Lite and having a barroom conversation about a what-if kind of sacrifice, with others were actually making a deal with the devil.
Well, how can we stop them from doing it?
And that's what we're going to talk about today. 610-632-0975. A lot of the things that have happened in Philadelphia sports go beyond logic, Hunter. Why? Matter of fact, maybe you can explain it. Why? Knowing that Joel Embiid had a torn thumb and a broken face. Like, we knew that. First of all, the fact that that happened shows that that's a devil punishment. Sports gods would not smite us in that way. That's a devil move. Why would James Harden only take two shots in the second half, Hunter?
I wish I had the answers for it. I have no idea. We go from back in the day with this guy on he's taking too many shots. He's overdoing it. He's trying too much. He's got to incorporate someone else with his team. And then now we're here, and I don't know. I mean, it's not an excuse, but I just wonder. Do we have all the information on the hamstring? But then I go back to his comments after the game. And he says he finally is starting to feel right. And it's like, dude, you're finally starting to feel comfortable again after the last 2 years, and this is what you give me? So that automatically knocks that thought right out of my head,
yep.
Which at that point, it's very concerning. And he says the ball doesn't swing back to him. It doesn't need to. You have the ball in your hands. You're the primary ball handler.
Every play, you have the ball.
So I don't know. I don't have the answer for it. Maybe the answer is, and we're kind of in denial, he's just not good enough anymore.
Now, yeah, but doesn't mean you can't. But you can take more than two shots if you're not good anymore.
Right. Right.
You take more than two
you
shots.
You can be like Maxey, where when you look at Maxey, he didn't have. We liked his effort, but it wasn't like the most efficient game in the world.
No. Embiid, here's the issue. The Sixers took 87 shots, the Heat took 87 shots. Despite all the turnovers and this and that, they took the same amount of shots. Embiid and Maxey took 46 of 87 shots. That shouldn't happen with James Harden on the team. I'm not saying that James Harden should have been effective necessarily, but he should have been active, and he wasn't. And outside of the devil, there's no reason for it. The deal with the devil that you guys made, you specifically and your buddies, you and your little friends out there at the bar, and meanwhile, the devil's sitting at the end of the bar. The devil. And he's sitting there, hey, guys. Won a Super Bowl? Of course he can drink it. You go and walk to the bathroom. Maybe it wasn't you. But one of your friends makes that deal with the devil, the 10-year deal. And the problem is that's February of 2018 when that happened. This could go on, based on what the people said, to 2028. Now, how's that feel right now?
Well, I need to do some research here because I feel... Look, Boston is an outlier, right? They won a lot and Tom Brady and all that stuff. But how many other cities go through droughts of 10 years not winning a championship between their teams and 15 years and 20 years? And as much as I don't like Doc Rivers, when Keith Pompey asked him the question yesterday towards the end of, look, you were brought in here to win. How come we're not seeing that success? And he gives you the answer of, because it is that hard to win. I can't stand how smug he is and how he feels like he's never wrong. But there is truth to how difficult it is to win that championship. Let's look at Kevin Durant and what happened with him everywhere else except for the Golden State Warriors. And that's not to say I wouldn't want Kevin Durant on my team right now, but it just shows you that it is so difficult. How does this relate to other cities? That's all. I just want to do some research.
How does it relate to other cities?
Huh? Yeah.
Well, here's the problem. You can't just relate it just to other cities. You get to go more with a fine-tooth comb. Other cities with four teams.
Fair.
So you can't worry about what a Cleveland has gone through. They don't have a hockey team.
Fair.
You can't go through. I mean, yeah, but they.
Yeah, it's not
Cleveland
the same.
Does it. Cleveland.
But they got a diehard fan base of the Indians and all that.
Guardians.
I think that they're. Yes, Guardians. Excuse me. Yeah. I do think that some cities are somewhat maybe not in the conversation as much compared to others.
They're not.
Right. I think that's fair, though. So we have to dissect this with the proper mindset.
How long has it been in L.A. since they won?
Oh, they got the Dodgers. But they took them forever to do it with all that payroll, all those great teams.
Skipped the whole Lakers bubble championship.
That's right, the Lakers bubble championship.
Yeah, they also have a title there. So can't compare it to
L.A. But think about how long it took those Dodger teams to finally do it with all that. It's just that hard to do it.
No. No, they haven't been to the conference finals. They've been there once since 1983. That's devil. That's the devil. You had Barkley, Iverson, and Bede. You've had one trip to the conference finals since 1983.
I got a question for
you. That's the devil.
Are they closer to the Eastern Conference finals than not?
No. They're right where they are. They're a second-round team still, the same way they've been for 4 years. And I have to think that the only logical reason any of this happened is because of some of you frauds made a deal with the devil. And now what you have to do is you individually are going to have to figure out what you're going to sacrifice to the devil to put things square. Now you have to think about what you do. You may have to stop using a shooting sleeve. I don't know what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do something, you personally. But we got to do something because none of this makes sense. What are the odds that you would have the first pick in the draft, a 6'10" point guard who's one of one in theory, completely never learn how to shoot a basketball, become afraid to shoot a basketball, and then quit basketball? What are the odds of that happening? One in a billion.
Yeah, that one's tough.
Now find another city where that one happened. Find another city where that happened. That happened here Why? Because somebody, my dad's generation, paid, made a deal with the devil after they lost the 3-1 lead to the Portland Trailblazers in 1977. We're going back over 40 years. And it's just still coming due because they have not made good with the devil. That's the only explanation. There is no logical reason why Markelle Fultz would forget how to shoot when he was the consensus number one overall pick. We can't do any of this hindsight
stuff. Yeah, I can't stand it. Well, if you traded this guy and that guy, every time they lose, we're going back to Sam Hinkie. I'm done with it. It honestly bothers me that we're still doing this.
Right. Stop with the Holly hindsight. We'll get to Joe in 1 second. 610-632-0975. Stop with the Holly hindsight. He was the consensus first round pick. Also, stop with this lie. Peter Vesey puts it out online. They were never going to have Tatum. Let me explain this one time, because I'm tired of doing it. The Celtics wanted Tatum. He was their guy. The Sixers wanted Fultz. He was their guy, and he was the consensus number one overall pick at the time. The Celtics only made the deal with the Sixers to go from 1 to 3 because the Sixers had made the assurance that they were taking Fultz. Had the Sixers wanted Tatum, the Celtics keep the first overall pick and they draft Tatum. There was no way for the Sixers to acquire Tatum. Is that clear enough for people?
Yeah, 23-6-6 was his college stats at Washington, averaging 42%, 41.3% from three.
Right.
It's crazy how it's falling off.
He could shoot at the top. Another thing before we get to the call is Jimmy Butler manipulated you guys. Not you specifically, Hunter. This one's not you. This is people, some of them low information, some of them wanting to believe him. When he yells out that Tobias Harris over me, that never happened. That's a made-up thing. That's not real. Here's the real situation. It was so bad for Jimmy Butler when he was here. And Jimmy Butler's a liar. And I'm saying that very comfortably. He didn't stay at the team hotel with his teammates. He didn't like Ben Simmons. He did not like Tobias Harris. And he didn't like Brett Brown. Okay? When it came time to re-signing Jimmy Butler, the Sixers would have had to, at 2019, not now, knowing what you know now, no Holly hindsight, it's knowing what you knew then. Were you prepared to fire Brett Brown, many of you may say yes to that, and part with Ben Simmons in 2019?
No, I wouldn't have. And you're coming off of a Game 7 loss, which was a heartbreaker. That was not the time to fire Brett, even though every year everyone screams to fire the head coach.
Right.
That was not the time to do it.
You're absolutely right. So then Jimmy Butler decided he didn't want to be here. So they do the sign and trade in Miami to try to get something back. And they get back Richardson and a pick, and that's what they got back. Because he didn't want to be here. Then it became, okay, Tobias Harris is a free agent as well. Jimmy Butler's gone. He didn't want to be here. So it wasn't Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris. It was Tobias Harris or absolutely nothing. You had traded for him to try to win. You push the champions as they gave him the toughest test. Then when the next two series easier, in fact, they fell behind 0-2 against the Bucks, and then the Bucks lost 4 straight. Showing you that it takes, there's some growing pains along the way. Even for that Bucks team, they lost a 2-0 lead to that Raptors team. Then obviously KD and Klay gets hurt. I mean, what are the odds of that? KD and Klay get hurt, and then the Raptors win the title. Sixers gave them the toughest test. But the actual choice was Tobias Harris or nothing. And in 2019, everyone preferred to have Tobias Harris than to have nothing. That's what actually happened. Everything else is all BS made up by people manipulating the fans. Jimmy Butler knew exactly what he was doing, and he was lying.
Yeah, the Jimmy Butler thing is crazy. There's so many side stories to it all, which one is, I keep hearing that, well, Joel's always injured. And sure, there's something to be said about every year we get to this point, and it's a finger, or it's a thumb, or it's a face, and some of it's out of his control. When he gets elbowed in the face, it is what it is. But Jimmy Butler almost, he played 57 out of 82 this year, and he had back problems. He was missing a lot of games. Kyle Lowry wasn't there. there. There were a lot of issues with Jimmy Butler where he almost missed 30 regular season games this year. So he was extremely banged up. It's not like he was available for his team all year. And the one narrative that I can't get away from, and I like Jimmy. I don't hate Jimmy at all. But there's this narrative that he's a winner and Joel Embiid isn't. Yet Jimmy Butler hasn't won anything yet. And oh, by the way, if he is a winner, he's sitting here publicly saying, I would love to play with Joel. So if he's a winner in your eyes, and he's saying that he wants to play with someone else, wouldn't that then clarify that Joel Embiid, why would a winner want to play with a loser? It doesn't make sense. But for me, I like Jimmy and I think he's a fine player. It just, it blows my mind, the obsession with Jimmy and calling him this big, you know, star, superstar. Look at what he's doing. He played great this series, but he hasn't had that accomplishing goal yet to label him as far as people are going without any disrespect.
No, they got swept last year. They got swept last year. He shot 29% in the series.
He had a hell of a series this year, no doubt about it. But I just think people cross the line with the Jimmy Butler love and what type of pedestal they put him on. He's a good player. He's a really good player. But I do feel that people put him on this pedestal that I can't agree with.
Yes, absolutely. So, Joe Harleysville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Good morning, Tyrone. Good morning. I want to say, you know, you are on the right track. I'm 66 years old. So I go back a little bit further, and I believe, I don't want to say it's a curse, because I can't believe that, but, you know, they used to say that. I remember back in the 60s where the Eagles had only won a championship in 47, 48, then they won a championship in 60, then we didn't get back in for 20 more years until 80. You know, and then we have to wait all the way up until, you know, 2017 to finally get a Super Bowl, you know, and all these other teams have gotten 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And I can remember what you said earlier in 2017, people were on the radio. Yeah, I would give up 2 or 3 in the future to this. And words have power. To me, words have power. And when you talk like that, you are bringing it into existence, you know?
Yep. And Hunter's to blame.
Oh, come on. But look, here's another thing that I was thinking of when you mentioned the curse. I instantly went to Boston and the Red Sox. And then I go back to, is this happening in all these other cities? We just don't care enough about them because we're not as emotionally tied. I don't have the answer for you. That's why I said I want to do some research. But when you said the curse, I instantly went to the Boston Red Sox, and they went through their whole debacle too, which is this the nature of sports throughout all cities?
You know, I don't know for sure, but I want to make a comment about Joel Embiid and the Sixers.
Quickly.
Yes. If you get a chance, after the Friday night game where they won, there was a press conference. Joel Embiid I had a concussion. It took me months to recover from it. He could not look into the lights. You kept watching him look down into his elbow. And I'm serious. I think he did his best. I'll tell you right now, that's a man's man. And that man gave it all.
You are absolutely right about that. It's simple. The people that think Joel Embiid isn't tough are stupid. That includes anyone nationally. It includes everyone that said it locally. It includes any of you fans out there, any media person. Just shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. The most embarrassing display, I think, was mostly Seth Joyner on Twitter. Shut up. You weren't out there.
He's going to have 2 surgeries probably by the end of this.
Yes, 2 surgeries. He's playing through it, and he's the problem. We'll get into more of that. But on the other side, Hunter Brody will explain. He failed the first time. He'll explain why James Harden took 2 shots in the second half on the other side. So you don't want to miss that, because he's going to have a lot of explaining to do, because he's responsible for a lot of this. And then my parents are a lot of responsible for this. So 610-632-0975. I want to hear from you. When we're at this low, why did you specifically out there, you know what you did, make a deal with the devil, knowing that we cannot handle the repercussions? We all got to do better. Well, all of you do. 610-632-0975. Not me and Mike. But the rest of y'all got to do a better job. 610-632-0975. Word of the week is devil. Who made the deal with the devil? You know who you are. You know who you are. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Weekends on The Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Tyrone Johnson, Hunter Brody, 610-632-0975. Before we get to Paul Hudrick, do you like sardines? Somebody just asked on social media, asked me.
I would never go out of my way to eat them. I'm the least pickiest eater in the world, where if it's in front of me, I'll probably eat it. There's times where I think I'm eating chicken and it's tofu. That's where I'm at with food. So I would never go out of my way and say, I want sardines. If sardines were in front of me, would I eat them? Probably. Are you anti? Or?
No, I like sardines.
Okay, yeah.
I don't go out of my way, but I was during the pandemic, I would go to this Italian market to get stuff because I was trying to make the grocery store trips, the few trips out of the house.
Sure.
Like into something. And I bought some cans because they were just there. Because I was like, I haven't had these in a long time. And I liked them again.
Yeah.
So there was that. All right. James Harden took two shots in the second half of game six. Sixers lose. And I've been trying to figure out why ever since. And we have been unable to for 2.5 hours. So we bring in from Liberty Ballers, Mr. Paul Hudrick on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Paul?
I'm doing great, Ty. How are you, man?
Well, I'm doing pretty good in my life. Obviously, the Sixers stuff, not so good. So before we get to anything else, Paul, and there's a lot to get to, obviously, and you do a great job, Liberty Ballers. People should always be checking out your stuff. You're a gentleman and a scholar. How in the hell does Harden only take two shots in the second half of that game six?
I think the only person that knows the answer to that is James Harden. And clearly, after game six, he wasn't letting us know why. I've defended James a lot through this because I think, you know, that hamstring still, it hasn't been 100% at all. Clearly hasn't been 100% since he's gotten here and through this playoff run. But to go out that way, it's such a bad look. And then after the game, to really just give non-answers, it's rough. I mean, to say the ball didn't come back to me. I mean, man, you got to go get the ball. You're James Harden, you know? Like, you're a top 75 basketball player of all time. One of the greatest offensive players this game has ever seen. Go get the damn ball. I didn't care for that. And then he did eventually, I'll give him this, he did eventually kind of own up to it a little bit and said, like, listen, like, the last, it was not owned up to it, but opened up a little bit to say, the last 2 years for me have basically been hell, like dealing with his hamstring, dealing with some of the stuff, which has some of it is his own doing, but some of it is, you know, the situation in Brooklyn obviously wasn't great with Kyrie and with Kevin Durant getting hurt and him, you know, with the hamstring having to carry that big load. And I think that certainly took a mental toll on him. But I think the health is a legitimate concern. I think the hamstring was bothering him the whole time. But there is not a single reason why you shouldn't have gone out swinging and gone out shooting in game six in an elimination game where you know your best player's hurting. You had to come out, you had to, you know, go out firing, and he just really did not do that.
No, and you look at the box scores lie sometimes, box scores tell the truth sometimes. 87 total shots, 24 from Embiid, 22 from Maxey, so 46 of 87 shots from those two players, and we know Embiid's not healthy. It just adds to me where it just doesn't make sense that happened, and you're right, we'll never know why, but isn't there something eerie about it, Paul, that you get rid of Ben Simmons and you bring in a guy who was used to be known for shooting too much. He's an excellent passer, and when they need him to shoot the most, he then looks similar to Ben Simmons in that particular way. Isn't there something eerie and odd about that?
It's alarming, quite frankly, because this is kind of the knock on the guy. Like, you know, when for me, like, I always go into things like this when a new player comes here, whatever. Like, because quite frankly, I didn't care for Jimmy Butler before he got here, and then as I got to know him a little bit and see him around, I was like, okay, I get it. Like, I get what he's about, and I understand him. I get what makes him tick a little bit, and there's more ignorance on my part and maybe not getting him. With James Harden, this was the knock, right, is that in the playoffs, in these kind of moments, he shrinks. And this was that kind of moment, and he shrunk. After he had such a beautiful moment in Game 4 where you thought, like, okay, here we go. Like, and not that I expected him to go out and, you know, average 30 for the rest of the series, but I expected him to have a profound impact for the rest of the series. And he didn't do that in Game 5 in Miami. He didn't do that at all in Game 6 and did not show up in the second half. Like, yeah, I have pretty big concerns. Like, he didn't want to be in Houston. He didn't want to be in Brooklyn. Like, does he not want to be here now? Like, he said that. I mean, he said after the game, like, you know, when he was asked about, will you opt in? He said, you know, he didn't say yes, but he said, I will be here, like, no matter what that looks like. So I have big concerns, and you're right, for the team to kind of rid themselves and clean themselves of the Ben Simmons stuff. And then for this to happen, like, it's just, if you're a Sixers fan, I understand why you're hurt right now. Like, this is a really brutal thing to encounter after what you encountered last year and then even before that with Ben Simmons.
We heard from Daryl Morey yesterday about Doc's future. Before it was public that he'd return, did you think that he would be back? And what do you feel about him returning?
I was pretty confident he was going to be back. I think the fans just really wanted him out. And I think that's where that kind of came from. But I think a couple things. One, it's no small thing that he still has 3 years at around $8 million on his contract. That's a factor. Like, they're going to have to pay him if they fire him. I would say, two, I think Daryl Morey actually likes Doc Rivers a lot more than people want to believe. I think there is there's some people that when they look to hire people, they want someone who thinks differently than them. And I think that's the case with Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers. Obviously, Daryl is very analytical driven, very modern, threes and twos, and like that's the game he wants to play, and you know, the whole Morey ball thing, whereas Doc Rivers is old school. And I think Morey likes that kind of back and forth. As far as do I think he is the right fit going forward, I'm not so sure about that. I'll say this too, bros. Like, it depends on who you're telling me is coming in here. If you're replacing him with, I don't know, like another guy that's like, are you replacing him with Mike D'Antoni? Does that excite me? No, it doesn't really excite me. Could Mike D'Antoni, maybe his offense be a little bit more creative and maybe find better ways to get Joel Embiid the ball with double and triple teams and do some other things? Maybe that might work, but I don't know. Like, if you tell me Quinn Snyder's going to leave Utah for this job, would I take him? Yeah, absolutely. Quinn Snyder's a great coach. If you tell me that Jay Wright's going to come out of retirement and take over the team, hell yeah, give me Jay Wright. But without knowing that, I don't know who is the better option that I see out there right now that I say, yes, definitively, like, let's bring this guy in, let's move on from Doc Rivers.
Before we get to Joel Embiid, since you brought up the Doc Rivers thing, I want to know if this is a fair statement. I think that it's clear that Doc is not a bad coach. He is not. And even if you see what he did against Toronto, and he did some good things in that series, I don't think Doc anymore is a great coach. Do you think that's a fair statement? He's not bad, but he's also not great.
I'll definitely agree with you that he's not bad. And I think, but I'll say that a lot of the criticism waged on him is totally fair. You know, the most glaring example in the Heat series is, you know, the insistence on playing DeAndre Jordan. And then also, you know, down the stretch, playing DeAndre Jordan all these regular season games when you instead could have been playing Paul Reed, could have been playing Charles Bassey, could have gotten those two guys some looks with James Harden, could have gotten them some NBA experience so that when the playoffs came, they were a little bit more ready for that stage. Now, Paul Reed, I actually thought, acquitted himself pretty darn well, all things considered. But I think, I guess the best way to put it too, though, to your point of him like just not being a bad coach is, coaching didn't lose them that series, right? Like, that's not why they lost the series. Like, clearly, Joel Embiid not playing the first two games and not being himself was a huge factor. The other factor is, this is just not a deep enough basketball team. They just don't have enough enough good rotational playoff NBA players, and the Heat had like 10 or 12, right? So, I mean, I agree with you that I don't, and I think too, Ty, like, coaching is so overrated in the NBA. Like, it is such a star-driven league. It is such a player-driven league. There are only so few coaches that I would even put in that great category. Ironically, Doc Rivers beat one of them in the first round, and then he lost to the other one, one of the other ones in round two. So there's just, there's so few guys that I think really make that big of an impact. It's all about talent, and I just don't think the Sixers had enough of it.
They did not. Now, you brought up the Joel Embiid thing. There's a few people out there that have that are using his getting him getting elbowed in the face and then not being right after being elbowed in the face as a reason to believe that he's not a winner, he's soft, you can't win with him, etc. And then there are other people who think that he deserves credit for coming back and playing under those circumstances. Where do you fall?
I give him all the credit in the world because you didn't even mention the fact that his right thumb didn't work for however many games he played. I mean, I just think about, like, I wouldn't want to show up to my job as a writer with a broken face and with a thumb that doesn't work. Imagine having to play a basketball game against the Miami Heat, who are one of the more aggressive, physical, defensive teams in the entire NBA in the second round with all that on the line. Like, to have to, for him to, yeah, I think for him to even play, and the reality is too, Ty, like, they don't win games 3 and 4 unless he shows up. Like, him just being there won them games 3 and 4. So they probably get swept if he doesn't play a single game. Like, I really believe that. I don't think they win a game without him. And I just think it caught up. I think he gave them physically everything he had. There were just limitations on what he could do. I think the thumb affected his shot in a big way. This is a guy who's one of the best mid-range shooters, regardless of position, one of the best mid-range shooters in the NBA. He just did not have that touch at all. You could see, you know, peripheral vision, I think, was bothering him a little bit too with the mask. He wasn't able to pass as effectively out of double teams because of that thumb. And the way Miami played him, like, they were double, triple, being super aggressive playing him, and no other Sixer gave them a reason to go away from that strategy. They kept doing it. They kept treating, like, Joel Embiid as if he was the MVP Superman guy we saw all season long when he wasn't even that guy, and no Sixer was able to make them pay. So I give him all the credit in the world. I think he showed a tremendous amount of toughness coming back. I mean, even just to get through that first series of that thumb and the game he had in game 6, that, you know, where he was really dominant and put Toronto away, I give him all the credit in the world. And I think, to a man on that basketball team, if you ask any of them honestly, they would tell you the same thing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. When you look at Tyrese Maxey, he was obviously fantastic this season. What are you looking for in his game next year for him to kind of work on this offseason to grow to a whole nother level?
The one big thing that Doc kept talking about, and I agree, is just, I'm not sure he realizes how good he actually is. And that's a good and a bad thing, right? Like, it's good in the sense that he is just going to keep working. He works harder. And I don't think it's an erroneous statement or anything that anyone on the Sixers would push back on. He's the hardest worker on that basketball team. Like, Doc Rivers said he called him at 1 a.m. after they lost and was asking, when can I get back into the gym? And Doc had to tell him, like, no, man, like, you have to take a break. 21 years old or not, like, you need to take a break. You need to step away. You need to collect your thoughts. But I think the fact that he doesn't realize how good he is bad in the sense that, you know, he defers so much sometimes to Joel and James Harden or even Tobias Harris. Like, go get the ball and score. Like, you, and the phrase that Doc kept using was, you belong. Like, you belong out there. You belong on this stage. You are as good, if not better, than most of the guys out there. And I think that's where that mindset and just consistency, I think that's what's separating him. Like, he's going to be a star to me. Like, I think it's a matter of when, not if, he makes an all-star team. So it's just a matter of that consistency, I think, is what's the separator right now. He mentioned as well his handle, which I think is fair. Like, I think he could get a little bit tighter because he relies so much on his speed, but maybe, you know, getting a little bit tighter on his dribble can allow him to use that speed in a different way and change pace a little bit. And It's just the little nuances I think he needs to work on, because obviously his shot has come such a long way. And defensively, of course, like he still has a long ways to go on the defensive end of the floor. But I think that'll come too, because like as I mentioned, he works so hard. He's so physically gifted that I think that end of the floor, that'll eventually come around.
Last thing I want to ask you about is the Harden, the intricacies with what he might do if in the return. He was asked after the game by you guys about possibly not taking the max, and he said whatever it takes for the team to get better. Now, let's just say a hypothetical world, he was to take less than the max on a longer term contract to get more total money. That would create a scenario where the Sixers could hypothetically, and this was out there in the ether, trade Tobias Harris to a team with cap space and then have money to go try to get another player to pair with the other three. How realistic do you think it is for in your mind that he takes anything less than the max?
I think I'm almost certain that he's going to have to do that for a few reasons. One, I think if he gets the open market right now, what team is going to give him that deal? With all due respect to James Harden and what he, and, you know, who he is and what he's accomplished, right now, what team with cap space is going to say yes? 32-year-old James Harden after that playoff run, we're going all in on you. We're going to give you, you know, 270. You know, well, I guess because he's not re-signing with them, whatever, $240 million. Like I don't see the scenario where that happens. And then the other thing is too, I genuinely do think he wants to win. I think that's important to him, and that's important to his legacy. I think he wants to win. I think he realizes here with Joel Embiid is very possibly his best opportunity to do so. With Joel Embiid in his prime as an MVP player, I think he really enjoys playing with Tyrese Maxey. I think two of them, you know, grew a partnership, and I think he learned a lot. You know, Tyrese learned a lot from James. So I think that's a factor in why he might take a little bit less money. And, you know, if he signs for something like, I think the number I saw out there was like 3 for 90 or something like that, I don't think that's totally unfair. And then I think it is feasible, though, Ty, that if that happens, I mean, Daryl Morey, like, say what you want about Daryl Morey, and I'll agree with people who think that, you know, maybe he's on the margins, has maybe not been as great as you would like, and that's kind of been a knock on him, you know, even dating back to Houston. But some of the moves he's pulled off, you know, trading Al Horford at the time, I mean, not this version of Al Horford is, I don't know where the hell this came from, but the version that the Sixers had of Al Horford, to be able to turn that into, you know, a usable player in Danny Green and get off that contract, to be able to trade Josh Richardson and get a Seth Curry, to be able to trade Ben Simmons and get James Harden, you know, it didn't work out exactly how the Sixers planned, but I think most people, when that happened, were pretty darn happy that trade went down. So I think with Morey, you can't rule anything out. He's always going to star hunt. That's just what he does. And he'll get creative. He'll find ways to make money work. He'll find ways to make, you know, player movement work. So I would not rule it out. But I think the only thing I can promise you is that Joel Embiid will be here, Tyrese Maxey will be here, and James Harden will be here. Beyond that, I really have nothing. I think everything else is fair game.
Yes. Well, we appreciate the time. Great work as usual, Paul. And everybody should be checking you out on Liberty Ballers, man. And enjoy the rest of your weekend and some of this offseason, because I think it will be an interesting one.
It will be very interesting. I'm going to try to get as much time in with the little guy before things start getting crazy in July.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks so much. All right. That's our time, Hunter. That is our time.
Flew by. Another 3 hours in the books.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, everybody. Listen, thanks, everybody. Called. And coming up is Tyler Zuli live from the Parks Race and Sportsbook inside the Chickies and Pete's in Malvern.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.